It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Jonah, we are continuing our series on the book of Jonah, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. This is the teaching on the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and a merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Here in verse 1, we see that Jonah is angry again. Angry because Jonah knows that God is a loving God, a kind God, merciful God, gracious God. And those that come to him in confession and repentance will receive mercy, forgiveness, and a cleansing. Jonah is angry against Nineveh because it is one of the most inhumane of all empires, cruel to this core and oppressive of Israel. Jonah forgot the lessons taught in the scriptures from his forefathers to where Israel, the nation of Israel, is supposed to be a light unto the Gentiles. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 10 states, ye are my witnesses. Genesis chapter 22 verse 18 states, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verses 7 through 8 states, for what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I have set before you this day? The nation of Israel, through the scriptures, through the prophets, through their behavior as serving the Almighty God, was to be a light unto the Gentiles. And here Jonah has forgotten that lesson, for the Ninevites are the Gentiles, and he was to bring a word, light, to convert the Gentiles. Instead, he is awaiting judgment upon Nineveh based on his anger, based on his resentment, and based on his exclusive bias against any nation that is not the nation of Israel. Verse 2 speaks into further insight about Jonah's complaint, for he also knew that if God were to forgive and spare the Ninevites, they would perhaps punish the nation of Israel, continue to oppress the nation of Israel, continue to be used by God to chastise the nation of Israel. And therefore, he was trying to alleviate this by having God alleviate the Ninevites through judgment. Jonah soon forgot the intent of the law, that we should pray for our enemies and pray that individuals come to receive the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are individuals today in the church who are forgetting this simple lesson, the lesson of Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 47. where Jesus states, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans also do?" Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26 also gives us context in how Jonah should have prayed for the Ninevites, just as we should pray for our enemies. Mark 11, 25 through 26 states, "And when ye stand praying, forgive. For if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Jonah, instead of being angry and looking to judgment, should have been praying and being a light unto the Gentiles. We in the church should do the same, to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, praying for those not only who care about us, but praying for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Verses 3 through 4. "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" Here in verses 3 and 4, Jonah has not received the lesson on forgiveness. He is remaining exclusive. He has the same attitude as in chapter 1, verse 12, when he wanted to be cast into the sea. Here he is passive-aggressive. Here we see the bias of Jonah, how he would rather die than to see the Ninevites repent and come to the Lord. He would rather be thrown overboard than to preach to the Ninevites, to the Gentiles. Here, God challenges him and says, "Does it do any good for you, Jonah, to be angry?" God is calling on Jonah to self-examine himself, similar to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, where Paul stated, "Examine yourselves to see if ye be in the faith." Because Jonah has not learned his lesson on loving all individuals, God is challenging Jonah to learn his lesson. The lesson that God loves everyone and wants all to be saved. John chapter 3, verse 16 states, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 states, "For it is God's will that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 states that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know from history and from human behavior that all individuals will not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But God's love extends to all in an invitation to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Therefore, Jonah should have learned this lesson, that God's love extends, yes, to the nation of Israel, but also to the Ninevites. And we today should learn this lesson, that God's love does not only extend to us and to those in our circle of influence, but God's love extends to the four corners of the earth, behind the iron curtain, behind the bamboo fence in the jungles, across the seven seas. We have to display the love of God and to have the compassion in our hearts that all individuals are invited to partake of God's mercy, grace, and forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. To remove prejudices and biases, stereotypes, and barriers that will keep us from letting our light shine and from opening our mouth to talk to anyone and everyone about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verses 5 through 8. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, that it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Here in verses 5 through 8, God is giving Jonah another lesson in loving the Ninevites and not just his own people. Verse 5 speaks of him making a homemade booth to sit back and watch the city to see if it befalls judgment. Individuals today sometime look upon others that they do not like, hoping that ill will or something bad happens to them. Scripture states in the book of Proverbs, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, lest God turn his anger away from your enemy and turn it towards you." Verse 6 speaks of an example of being glad of God for sparing Nineveh, as the Lord prepared a great gourd to give Jonah shade over the sun. So did God spare the city of Nineveh. Simple lessons that Jonah did not see, as he was glad for the gourd protecting him from the beams of the sun, so should he have been glad of the Lord sparing Nineveh that repented. Verse 7 and 8 further underscore this lesson of God sparing Jonah as he spared Nineveh. Verse 8, Jonah continues to have a proverbial pity party, desiring to die rather than receiving the lesson that God all along has been trying to teach him and give him, which is to love the Ninevites just as he loves the nation of Israel. To love the Gentiles just as much as he loves his own people. Verse number 9. And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Here Jonah is angry at the loss of the vine that gave him protection of the sun, but not at the potential loss of Nineveh. Tens of thousands of lives hanging in the balance, yet his compassion was misplaced. So it is today, as individuals in the world, and especially in the church, have some of their compassion misplaced. Individuals more concerned about animals and protecting endangered species than the precious baby in the womb. Individuals more concerned about their own personal birthdays and their own personal celebration of their birthdays rather than celebrating this day that the Lord has made. Individuals seeking to fulfill their own will versus seeking to fulfill the Lord's will and say, "Thy will be done." Misplaced compassion, misplaced sentiment here with Jonah, and also rampant in the world today. Verses 10 through 11. Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle?" Here in verse number 10, God is further speaking of misplaced compassion. Jonah having compassion for this plant, but not for the people of Nineveh. God challenging Jonah in verse 10 that he should have had compassion for Nineveh, for he had no labor towards this plant, and yet has compassion, and he's had labor towards Nineveh, traveling to Nineveh, preaching to Nineveh, and yet he has no compassion for them. God is insistent that Jonah see individuals as God sees them. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11 states, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." Jonah instead is like the sons of thunder, James and John, in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56, when the Samaritans would not follow the Lord Jesus Christ. James and John asked if they could call down fire upon the Samaritans. Jesus challenged them, saying, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are." James and John was operating out of vengeance, what they thought was righteous indignation. Instead, they should have been operating out of compassion, mercy, grace. We in the church today are called to be compassionate. Yes, we have a standard of holiness and righteousness, but our motivation of love is based on compassion. Jude verse 22 and 23 states, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." We are to be moved with compassion and grace, because when we look upon individuals in a bad state, we ought to say to ourselves, "If not for the grace of God, go I. If not for the grace of God, it could be me in that same situation." We should be moved with compassion and not a sense of holier than thou righteousness. Verse 11 speaks of the Lord having a desire to spare Nineveh, where there are tens of thousands of innocent individuals there, and individuals not only innocent, but individuals that repented and now can receive the mercy of God. Individuals that are children, individuals that are not living the life of the Ninevites in the cruelty and debauchery that the empire was known for. God spares the nation because of the repentance and the innocent blood that was there. Just like when Abraham prayed to the Lord back in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, that he would spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there were 50 righteous, 40 righteous, 30 righteous, 20 righteous, or 10 righteous. And God responded that he would spare the city for 10 righteous. God is a merciful God, a kind God, long-suffering God, and gives individuals optimum opportunity to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the church, where is our compassion? Is it misplaced? In the church, where is our compassion for the sick and the suffering? What are we doing? And where is our compassion for the shut-in and those that are left out? In the church, what are we doing? And where is our compassion for the hungry and the homeless? In the church, where is our compassion? And what are we doing for those inside our own church that are wounded and that want to come and receive restoration? Are we judging them? Are we putting them down? Are we talking about them? Are individuals gossiping about them at the dinner table? We ought to be moved with compassion so that the church is a safe place for those to come that are wounded, bleeding, hurting, broken, and that can come to be restored with compassion, love and kindness, and the tender mercies of the Lord. This is the teaching on the book of Jonah, chapter 4. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his love and kindness, I invite you to bow your head and to close your eyes and to pray this prayer with me today, this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your love and kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.